Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Criminally Listed Presents Into the Killing. If this is your first episode, we welcome you, and we hope you enjoy it. If you have already been listening for a while, thank you so much. We appreciate you coming back and listening again. This week's case is a disturbing one, and the end of it is just the beginning. If you don't understand what we mean, you will shortly. The case we're talking about this week happened in August 1978. Early that month, Pope John Paul VI died. Pope John Paul I succeeded him the next month. On August 13th, a bomb in Beirut, Lebanon killed about 200 people. 4 days later, three Americans crossed the Atlantic in a hot air balloon, becoming the first people to perform that feat. The most popular song that summer was Shadow Dancing by Andy Gibb, the youngest of the Gibb brothers. The eldest three Gibbs made up the superstar group, the Bee Gees. The film, Grease, was number one at the box office for all of July. The biggest box office draw for August was the action comedy, Hooper, starring Burt Reynolds and Sally Fields. Pasadena, Texas is a city in the Houston metropolitan area. In 1978, the population was around 110,000 people. It was home to Dorothy Lane and her 17-year-old daughter, Donna. On August 24th, Dorothy's 26-year-old son, Larry Dickens, was visiting them. Larry was the father of a 3-year-old daughter. He had served in the Marines, and he also worked as a youth counselor. That afternoon, Donna was at cheerleading practice. Larry was in the backyard mowing the lawn, and Dorothy was in the kitchen. Dorothy looked out the window and noticed about half a dozen children playing at the intersection near their home. A man in a pickup truck pulled up and parked his vehicle across the road from their house. Then she saw the man get out of the truck. He was naked from the waist down. Dorothy immediately called the police. As she was making the call, Larry came into the kitchen. Dorothy told her son what was happening, so Larry went outside and went to the man's truck. The man's keys were still in the ignition, so Larry grabbed them. The man saw what Larry did and went back to his truck. As the man was putting on his jeans, he demanded his keys back. Larry and the man argued, and then the man pulled out a small handgun. Dorothy watched from the kitchen as the man demanded his keys back. Larry refused to give them over, and then the man shot him 4 times. Badly hurt, Larry made his way back to the garage, and his mother went out there. The man was shouting that he wanted his keys back, and he wasn't leaving until he got them. Dorothy got the keys from Larry and handed them over to the man. Dorothy begged the man not to shoot her son again. He ignored her pleas. As she held him, the man shot Larry in the head. The man then left the garage and walked back to his truck. Despite being shot 5 times, Larry got up and followed the man, trying to stop him. But he collapsed in the driveway. Dorothy ran back to the kitchen. She had left the phone off the hook, and the 911 operator was still on the line. They told her that the officers and the paramedics were en route. Then she saw the man get a high-powered rifle from his truck. Around the same time, Dorothy's daughter and Larry's sister, 17-year-old Donna, pulled up to the house. She saw the man cross the road, fire his rifle at something on the driveway, and then walk back across the road to his truck. But she did not see what he shot. Donna decided to block his truck from driving forward. In the process, she got a good look at the man. The man put his truck in reverse and made his getaway. That's when Donna realized that the man had shot her brother at point-blank range in the head. He had been shot 2 times in the head, in both elbows, in the right thigh, and in the back. surrounded by his mother and sister, 26-year-old Larry Dickens died on his mother's driveway. The police arrived in the area minutes later, and they spotted the truck. The man led them on a high-speed chase. When he finally came to a stop in a cul-de-sac, he aimed his rifle at one of the officers, but the rifle jammed. The man was subsequently arrested. He was brought back to the scene of the shooting. The officers asked Dorothy and Donna to come to their vehicle to see if they had the right man in custody. Dorothy said she was too shaken up and she couldn't look at him, so Donna went with the officers. When she saw the man in the back seat of the police cruiser, the officers had to hold her back because she wanted to physically attack him. The police identified the man as 39-year-old Edward Harold Bell. Bell lived in Crystal Beach, Texas. He was a boat operator who docked his three boats in Galveston, Texas. He had previously worked as a diesel mechanic, construction worker, and a pharmaceutical salesman. He had a degree in physical education from Texas A&M. He also had a disturbing criminal history. Between 1966 and 1978, Bell was stopped by the police over a dozen times. He would drive around looking for young girls. He would then flash them and masturbate in front of them. Most girls he exposed himself to were between the ages of 11 and 16. Amazingly, Bell was never prosecuted for any of these crimes. Instead, he would be sent for psychiatric help. In 1974, Bell was arrested for raping a patient at a psychiatric hospital, but the charges were subsequently dropped. The day after Edward Bell was arrested for Larry Dickens' murder, there was a bond hearing. He had been charged with murder and four counts of indecency with a child. Amazingly, Bell was released after paying a $40,000 bond. People were completely outraged. The murder that was committed in broad daylight in front of the victim's mother as she begged for his life shocked the citizens of Pasadena. Larry's only crime was trying to ensure that Bell didn't run from the police after exposing himself to a group of children. After the cold-blooded murder, Bell did run, and when he was cornered, he aimed his gun at an officer who was pursuing him, and he might have shot him had his rifle not jammed. The citizens of Pasadena wanted to know why that man was allowed to be free on bail. There was another bond hearing in September 1973, and Bell's bond was raised to $125,000. Once again, Bell paid the bond. Bell's trial for murder was supposed to start on January 8, 1979, but he didn't show up for his trial. After a second bond hearing, he liquidated his assets and he fled the area. He then became a wanted fugitive. Six years later, in January 1985, Crime Stoppers and the Department of Public Safety started the Texas Most Wanted program. The first fugitive they featured was Edward Harold Bell. Unfortunately, this did not generate any more leads, and 7 years went by, and still no trace of Bell was found. Then, someone with the district attorney's office contacted the producers of the television show Unsolved Mysteries and asked them to do a segment about Edward Bell. They agreed, and they recorded a segment featuring the murder of Larry Dickens. Cast in the role of Larry was Matthew McConaughey in his first television role. The episode aired on December 2, 1992. After the broadcast, the show's hotline received 1,200 tips. Two of them were very promising. One caller said he had recently gone to Panama City, Panama for a business deal. The man he dealt with looked exactly like Edward Bell. The second tip came from someone who said that Bell had been living in Panama City for 10 years. The person then sent photos to the man that they believed was Bell. The tipster said that Bell had been prospecting gold on property he owned. In February 1993, 54-year-old Edward Harold Bell was arrested and extradited to Texas. After fleeing Texas, Bell assumed the identity of his dead cousin, Cecil Boyd, but he asked people to call him Wally. He lived in mostly coastal towns in Mexico and Central America on a sailboat. For income, he led dive trips. He finally ended up in Panama City, where he purchased some land. Edward Harold Bell went to trial for the murder of Larry Dickens in June 1993. The defense lawyer made the odd choice of blaming the victim. He said that had Larry Dickens not gotten involved, he would still be alive. Bell testified on his own behalf, and he said that Larry punched him and burst his eardrum. Bell claimed he only wanted to stop Larry and did not want to kill him. He claimed he was afraid for his own life. Larry's mother and sister testified, and they said that Larry didn't punch Bell. The arresting officer testified, and he said that Bell had no marks on him that indicated that Larry had been violent with him. Edward Bell was found guilty, and he was sentenced to 70 years in prison. So with Larry Dickens' murder officially being closed, we would typically end the podcast episode. But Bell's arrest and incarceration only led to a deeper mystery, or possibly the resolution of nearly a dozen other mysteries. In 2005, a detective with the Galveston Police Department was looking at the cold case of two murdered 15-year-old girls, Debbie Ackerman and Maria Johnson. On November 15, 1971, they went missing while hitchhiking in Galveston. 2 days after they vanished, their bodies were found about 10 miles from where they were last seen. Their bodies were floating in Turner Bayou in Texas City. They were partially nude, and they had both been shot twice in the head. The detective talked to an investigator in Texas City and asked if they had any leads. She said she did, and she gave him a letter. It reads, "Dear Sir, I figured out that I have been on a brainwashed murder program for most of my life. I was brainwashed into killing Debbie Ackerman and Maria Johnson in November of 1971. I have also killed 5 other girls in Galveston County. This is a statement of facts. Yours truly, Edward Harold Bell." It turned out that in 1998, Bell wrote several letters to the district attorney's offices in Harris County and Galveston County. In the letters, he claims he killed 7 young women in the 1970s. Besides Debbie and Maria, he only names 2 other victims in the letters. He thought that one of the victims had the last name Pitchford, and she had reddish blonde hair. On January 3, 1973, a 16-year-old girl named Kimberly Pitchford, who had reddish blonde hair, went missing after attending a driver's ed class at a high school in Houston. 2 days later, her body was found in a canal about 50 miles from where she was last seen. It appeared that the cause of death was ligature strangulation. Another victim he named was Colette Anise Wilson. In June 1971, Colette was 13 and she was attending a suburb band camp. On June 17, 1971, one of her band instructors dropped her off on a street corner in Manville, Texas, where her mother was going to pick her up. But when her mother arrived 6 minutes later, Colette was gone. 5 months later, Colette's body was found near the Addicts Reservoir, about 35 miles from where she was last seen. Colette had died from blunt force trauma to the head. The police did some investigating, and they found some validity in Bell's confessions, and they also found some connections between Bell and the girls. For example, when Bell wrote about the murders of Debbie and Maria, He accurately described how they were shot, and he accurately described the bridge where their bodies were found. Also, shortly before Debbie and Maria went missing, they visited a surf shop in Galveston. Bell was an investor in the shop. Also, Bell lived in an apartment that was close to a waterski school that the girls attended. Finally, Debbie and Maria were last seen getting into a white van. Bell owned a white van at the time of the murders. So while the police found some connections, they did not find enough evidence to charge Bell with any of the murders. The letters he wrote confessing to the murders were ultimately kept secret for 13 years. Then in July and September 2011, a reporter with the Houston Chronicle interviewed 72-year-old Edward Bell in prison. He told her that he hadn't killed 7 girls. Instead, he claimed he murdered 11 girls. He called them the 11 who went to heaven. Bell said that he committed 5 of the murders in 1971, and that he thought the other 6 happened between 1974 and 1977. He said that 6 of the girls were murdered in pairs. He also said that he came across the girls in Alvin, Dickinson, Webster, Houston, and Galveston. Bell told the reporter, despite the horrible things he did, he was the real victim. He said that he had been brainwashed by government agents through what he called the program. He said the brainwashing started at an early age. He said the program first made him flash girls, then started raping girls, and then finally, he began killing. The question is, if Edward Bell killed 7 other girls, who were they? Well, around the time when Bell claimed he committed the murders, there was a rash of murders of women and girls in the area. Also, several other girls and women went missing, and they have never been found. The area where many of the bodies were found, or where the victims were last seen, is known as the Texas Killing Fields. The actual field is off a rural road in League City, which is between Houston and Galveston. Between 1971 and 2006, over 30 murders and disappearances of girls and women have been associated with the Texas Killing Fields. In 2015, for a documentary series for A&E called The 11, a retired detective, Fred Page, and a reporter that interviewed Bell in prison and corresponded with him through letters, Lisa Olson, tried to determine the identities of the other 7 girls. They wanted to know if Bell was telling the truth about being a serial killer, or if he was just an attention seeker. To find the possible victims, they looked at the descriptions that Bell had given Olson in some of his letters. Bell said that he killed 2 girls from Webster. Olson and Page found a possible match. Rhonda Johnson and Sharon Shaw, who were both 14, spent the afternoon at a beach in Galveston. They went to a water skiing school near a bayou. Across the bayou was Bell's apartment building. Rhonda and Sharon went missing when they were heading home to Webster. Their remains were found 5 months later, on January 3, 1972. Sharon's skull was found in Taylor Lake, which is between League City and Houston. A short distance away, in marshland, the rest of her remains, along with Rhonda's remains, were found. They both had been shot to death. Webster is a small town, and in 1971, it only had a population of about 2,000 people. Rhonda and Sharon were the only pair of girls from Webster to be murdered during that time. Bell said that he murdered 2 girls from Dickinson. One was blonde and the other was brunette. He said that the murders happened in 1975. Page and Olson couldn't find an exact match to the description, but they did find a close match. On September 6, 1974, 14-year-old Georgia Greer and 12-year-old Brooks Bracewell went missing while walking in Dickinson. Georgia had brown hair and Brooks had blonde hair. Amazingly, even though the girls didn't have any behavioral problems, and there had been a series of murders where the victims were young women, the police thought that the girls had just run away. A year and a half later, their skulls were found in a ditch near Alvin, Texas. The rest of the remains were not found with their skulls. It appeared that they died from blunt force trauma to the head. Their remains were not found far from the location where Colette Wilson's remains were found 4 years earlier. Those were all the descriptions that Bell gave Olson and the district attorney's offices. So far, Page and Olson had identified 8 of the possible 11 girls. To recap, Bell said they killed 11 girls from Alvin, Houston, Galveston, Webster, and Dickinson. He said that 5 of the murders happened in 1971, and he thought an additional 6 happened between 1974 to 1977. Also, 6 of the girls were murdered in pairs. Bell admitted to killing Colette Wilson, who went missing on June 17, 1971, from Alvin, Texas. She died from blunt force trauma to the head. A month and a half later, on August 4, 1971, Rhonda Johnson and Sharon Shaw spent the day in Galveston, and then they disappeared on their way home to Webster. They both had been shot to death. 3 months after that, on November 15, 1971, 15-year-olds Debbie Ackerman and Maria Johnson disappeared from Galveston. Debbie and Maria were both shot to death. They were last seen getting into a white van, and at the time, Bell drove a white van. These were the first murders that Bell confessed to. Bell also confessed that he killed a girl with the last name Pitchford. 16-year-old Kimberly Pitchford went missing from Houston, Texas on January 3, 1973, about 14 months after the last murders. Kimberly's body was found 2 days later. The cause of death was ligature strangulation. 20 months later, on September 6, 1974, 12-year-old Brooks Bracewell and 14-year-old Georgia Greer went missing while walking to school in Dickinson, Texas. So that was 5 murders in 1971, 1 in 1973, and 2 in 1974, and 6 of the girls were murdered in pairs. That left 3 individual murders possibly committed between 1974 and 1977. Another murder that Fred Page and Lisa Olson linked to Bell was the murder of 19-year-old Gloria Gonzalez. But she wasn't killed between 1974 and 1977. However, they have an excellent reason to connect her to Bell. Gonzalez went missing from Houston on October 28, 1971, about 3 months after Rhonda Johnson and Sharon Shaw were killed, and about 2.5 weeks before the murders of Debbie Ackerman and Maria Johnson. Gonzalez's remains were found on November 23, 1971, less than a month after she went missing. It's believed that Gonzalez had been strangled to death. Her remains were found near the Attucks Reservoir. Found with her remains was a tooth that did not belong to her. So the investigators did a more comprehensive search of the area. That's when they found the remains of the first girl who went missing, 13-year-old Colette Wilson, whom Bell confessed to killing. The last two girls that Bell was possibly talking about are less clear. But based on the ages and the locations where the girls were last seen, Fred Page believes that the last two victims that Bell was talking about were 14-year-old Brenda Jones and 12-year-old Suzanne Bowers. On July 1, 1971, Brenda Jones went to visit a sick relative. She was last seen getting off the bus. The next day, her body was found floating near Pelican Island, which is part of the city of Galveston. The cause of death was manual strangulation. If Brenda was one of Bell's victims, she would have been the second. She was killed just over 2 weeks after Colette Wilson went missing. On May 21, 1977, 12-year-old Suzanne Bowers disappeared after leaving her grandmother's home in Galveston. Her body was found nearly 2 years to the day she went missing in Santa Fe, Texas, about 20 miles away from where she was last seen. The cause of death was blunt force trauma to the head. So while Page and Olson were able to identify 11 possible victims, they were never able to verify that Bell killed them. When Olson went to prison to interview Bell after identifying the 11, he denied killing anyone. That included Larry Dickens. Bell said that the police killed Larry and blamed him. Besides denying committing the murders, no physical evidence connects him to the murders of the 11 girls. So was Edward Harold Bell really a prolific serial killer of young women? Or was he just a bored attention seeker looking for some fun while sitting in prison? Unfortunately, the truth probably died with Bell. He passed away in April 2019 at the age of 82. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you want to know more about the Texas killing fields, we do a video about the murders on our YouTube channel, Criminally Listed. The video is called Two Creepy Unsolved Mysteries with Mysterious Phone Calls Part 5. You can find Criminally Listed at youtube.com/criminallylisted. As always, our fact checker, producer, and sound designer was Anel Cloutier. If you enjoyed this episode, please follow or subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. But that's all for today. Thanks again for listening.